song and show. Bringing you Bigfoot News Show, yo. Oh, yeah. Watching in the woods, catching all the food. Oh, yeah. Digging deep to bring you all the news. From sightings to footprints, it's all in the light. Stay tuned to Squatch Geek. It's out of sight.
And good evening, cyberspace. Welcome to Squatch DT. Oh, no, this isn't Squatch DTV. This is the Bigfoot News today's date, February 23rd, 2024. I'm just so pumped to be here. But here I am, of course, your host, your guide, the Squatch Detective Steve Coles, along with my co-host, Mr. Chris Bennett. Hello, Chris.
Steve, man, I'll tell you, I hope everything's been warming up for you in New York like it is here. We had like 60 degree weather today. So, loved it.
Yeah, it was pretty warm today, considering. Spent most of my day inside, however, doing production.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, do a lot of that.
I'm doing a lot of work to keep this channel automated throughout the whole week. As you can see, we've done a lot with shorts. We're putting out the storylines once a week. You know, when something comes up, the deep dive, of course, we're going to be doing that.
Yeah.
In fact, I may actually do a deep dive on the AI analysis using that report I did, just to put it out there in long form for folks. But yeah, it's been a very, very busy week. But I want to thank everybody, all our members out there. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys getting the word out, because I'll tell you what, sharing this show out to your friends and your people and your groups that have interest in Bigfoot really helps this channel. So I appreciate that so much. There's a gentleman over there. I believe it's Tom Connolly, if I'm not correct. But there's a guy over on Twitter that's been retweeting all my tweets to his followers. So really, I think there he is. Tom Connolly just popped
in. Tom. Appreciate it.
Good see I you. Believe that. Yeah. I mean, we're just banging away here, trying to get the word out about the show. And it's doing really well, really well. So, and to all our new subscribers out there, welcome. And to all our Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Apple Pod, you know, for those folks that are listening to this, you know, I know you're listening in your car, you get a chance, you get home. You got to pop on over to the YouTube channel, see the graphics we use, see some of the diagrams we use, see some of the videos and audio and stuff like that. You know, you won't be disappointed there. So, but welcome to all our new listeners to off the Audible platforms as well. And last week, if people had noticed something weird going on with the channel, it's because YouTube has opened up RSS feeds. So anytime we upload something to Spotify to go on the audio generation loop, we also get an audio generation loop for the YouTube podcast listeners, because there's, believe it or not, there's such a thing called YouTube podcast now.
Yeah.
And the response to that has been very well. So to all our YouTube podcast listeners, welcome.
Yeah, we appreciate you. And I think that's a great idea, because, you know, it pulls the, if you're listening to it on your phone in the car or something other, you don't need the video. You can't watch the video going down the road anyway.
Right on.
But you can always go check out the YouTube channel.
It's been that, but it's been a lot of fun, and we got a lot of new people coming in through the doors. So welcome. Anyway, that being said, you know, and the other thing too is I just announced that this coming Wednesday night, we will be doing another members only Squatch Detective seminar, basically using analysis tools in Bigfoot research. I'm going to be going on some of the online tools that I use during my Bigfoot investigations and stuff like that, how we do the deep dives and stuff for our memberships. And again, membership begins at 99 cents a month. So don't hesitate. Just go back to the channel head page, click that link to join the membership. Yeah. And of course, the first show of the month, we'll be giving away 10 free memberships as well. So
yeah, good deal. Yeah. I used to say that, you know, the membership would be about the price of a cup of coffee, but no, I just bought Sandy a cup of coffee last night down at the local store. It was like $1.99.
Oh, I know you're going to say $17.30. No, yes. Hello. I would like the skinny latte with oat milk. And can you please give me extra steam and on the head? Thank you.
No, for our local town here, we don't have a Starbucks. You know, it's not a big surprise, but we do have some pretty decent local coffees. You go into the store, you can get fresh ground. They grinds the beans while it's making the coffee. I mean, awesome. But is it worth $3? You know, personally, being a cheapskate, I don't think so. But
is it worth what?
$2.
Which one? The Starbucks?
No.
You know, there's a reason why there's the word bucks in Starbucks.
Yeah. That's because you're going to shell out some bucks to get a cup of their coffee.
Right. But, well, let's do our roll call, Chris.
Oh, yeah. We're off subject. Sorry, guys. We're talking about coffee. That's about
meanwhile, I'm drinking my Java Monster.
Monster. Okay.
But this is the coffee one. Java Monster.
Well, you know, personally, I don't like the taste of coffee. I love the smell of it. I could stand by and smell a pot of coffee all day, but as far as drinking any of it, I have to load it down with sugar and about half a cup of cream before I could even take a sip.
Well, folks, nobody said my co-host was perfect.
Yeah, that's right. We don't claim to be perfect. Just right.
I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, folks, here's the roll call for today. First in, panel member Jeffrey Strader. Hello, Jeff. Good to see you out there.
Good to see you.
Jay Charlotte in the house. Relic coming in is going to catch the show tomorrow. Walter Kroll. Jen. Angel Nolan. Lester Taylor. Lester also said, he goes, hello, everybody. Chat, man, I can't ever be ever first in here. LOL. of course, we get Alan Grasshopper. Good to see you, sir. OT in the house.
OT?
Nikki, how you doing, Nikki? Good to see you here.
Welcome.
We got Don Gumau Jr., Sasquatch Research Maine. Hello, Don. Good to see you, channel member. Thank you for all our channel members. Thank you for all you do.
Yes, we appreciate it.
And then we got Helton, a.k.a. Faster Man in the house. Arthur Watts, good to see you, Arthur. Don Fuller, there's Don. Don gave me some great ideas. We're going to be tackling one or two of those. Aaron Rinzai, good to see you, Aaron. You've been commenting up away. Thank you for your comments on the channel.
Yeah, so, appreciate you.
And there's Tom Connolly there. Hello, Tom. Brian and Chewy go hiking in the house. Up there it is. Martin Stilts. I'm in academia is in the house. Good to see you, Martin.
Welcome.
Little Kilroy was here. There he is.
Oh, yeah.
Little Kilroy. Good Kilroy. To see Brian Barber in the house. Yep, there it is. Membership is cheaper than coffee and much better for you. Yeah.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Finding the trackway. Bill, how are you? Good to see you. Jay Carey said, your coffee character is unrealistic. He said, thank you. okay. JT says, what's up? Hey, JT, good seeing you.
JT?
Walter Kroll, coffee is a fruit. And, of course, how can we forget Jay Fritz?
Hey. Yeah, you know. In this household, the wife drinks coffee and I don't, but I don't mind making it because, you know, because of the smell, there's nothing better in the morning than a kitchen with a nice aroma of coffee, you know, but, you know, she likes it. Not me. I'm not crazy. I just soon have tea, you know, hey, I'll stand in line to get a glass of tea. I'm fine with it. Oh, Steve, I hope you're okay, bud.
Yeah, I'm fine. And now my assistant wants something too, but he'll just have to wait till you're reading.
Oh, Jen says coffee is delicious. Yeah, well, a lot of people like it. Yes, it is. I know. Maybe I'm strange, but it never did suit me. Like a fruit juice in the morning is good.
Okay, there we go. Coffee all around for everybody. Anyway.
Hard candies work great for that cough. Okay.
Yeah, but they don't work so good. Hard candies don't work so great with dental appliances.
Yeah. Bigfoot coffee, black or cream and sugar?
Nah. Siberia Visitor says Cafe Bustelo. Yep, that's the instant Italian coffee there. Cappuccino. Not cappuccino. Yeah, it's our espresso. Sorry, espresso.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
There was one they used to make or sell locally.
Bigfoot coffee, black or cream and sugar. I'm sorry, I use cream and sugar. Or cream, or actually cream and sweetener. However, when it comes to if I don't have cream available, but I have some sugar or what, yeah. I will drink coffee black if I'm really desperate for it.
Yeah. The French vanilla cappuccino, that's different because that doesn't really taste like coffee. It's like getting a sweet tea.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get on to our first topic of the night before we let the show go away from us.
Okay. Which one are we going to do here?
Oh. We're going to do Sasquatch Sunset. Okay. Now, that's someone you don't have the article for.
No, don't have the article that one up.
But, okay, so this one is Sasquatch Sunset stars Eisenberg, Riley Keough, and comes through, Jesse Eisenberg, Riley Keough, and comes through theaters in April. Now my nose is running. The search for Bigfoot is one of those wild concepts that gets tossed around and discussed, but never taken quite seriously. What? I beg to differ with that. Surely Bigfoot, a giant hominid creature called the Sasquatch, doesn't exist. Surely. Well, obviously this reporter is an idiot. Sorry, I had to put that in there. Surely the idea is just silly, but if he did, he'd come from somewhere. He'd have a family, and maybe that family is still alive. We don't know if that's exactly the idea behind Sasquatch Sunset, the new film from Kimiko, the treasure hunter filmmakers, David and Nathan Zellner, but it certainly feels like it. Jesse Eisenberg and Riley Keough star as two members of a Sasquatch family who struggle to survive in an ever-changing world. Search for Bigfoot is one of those wild concept. I'm sorry, that's a repeat. The film is currently scheduled for limited release on April 12th and wide release on April 19th. Could this be a sleeper in the race for one of the year's best genre films? We certainly hope so. So here's the thing. I did a little reading on this. And if anybody hasn't seen the trailer, it's quite hysterical, actually. As you can see, it does star Jesse Eisenberg, and in the lower left there you have it. There is one of the Sasquatches taking in the beautiful aroma of a skunk. And he's just like,
he's really enjoying that.
Yes, he's really enjoying that. And then the picture on the lower right, which really got me chuckling, was them all tree knocking.
Yeah. That was good. That was good in unison. I mean, it was perfect.
So, and there's some more body things that the trailer shows as well, but we're not going to get into it.
No.
God forbid the YouTube censors,
right.
We don't want to hurt their oversensitive, feelings. So we'll just omit that.
From one of the articles I read about this one, it says there, and they didn't have any dialogue on the trailer either, but there's no dialogue. It's all
Sasquatch
activity or whatever.
So yeah, so give that a watch. I think you guys will enjoy that quite a bit. And that was a quick story. But you can find that on YouTube. Just go over and click on Sasquatch Sunset. We've already gone to the next slide. I don't know why. There we are. Because you know why? Well, you know why? Because I got my hands on the keyboard where my sheets are. And okay, so, Chris, the next one is yours. The closest relative of the extinct Bigfoot found.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, this was from about November 13th of 2019. I thought it was a great article. It says, the massive extinct primate was twice as tall as an adult human. The mythical and elusive Bigfoot is a creature of legend, but for millions of years, the original Bigfoot, a shaggy bipedal ape twice the size of an adult human, roamed the forests of Southeast Asia before going extinct hundreds of thousands of years ago. Scientists are now developing a clearer picture of the giant animal's place on the primate family tree. After conducting groundbreaking analysis of proteins in tooth enamel dating to nearly 2 million years ago, Gigantopithecus blackie dwarfed the great apes that live today. It stood around 10 feet, 3 meters tall, and weighed up to 595 pounds or 270 kilograms. But as massive as the Gigantopithecus, as massive as Gigantopithecus was in life, fossils of the hefty primate have been few and hard to find. Thousands of teeth and four partial jaws, leaving many questions about the extinct ape evolutionary lineage and appearance. Genetic analysis of fossils can provide important clues about long extinct animals, but in very old fossils from warm, humid geographic regions, the DNA is usually too degraded to be of much use. For example, in subtropical Asia, where Gigantopithecus lived, I don't know what's wrong with me tonight, the only viable DNA previously obtained came from other animals' fossils that were no more than 10,000 years old, according to a new study published online today, November 13th, in the journal Nature. However, the study authors had recently devised a new method for recovering and reconstructing protein sequences from dental enamel, and they tested this technique on a Gigantopithecus molar dating to 1.9 million years ago. They then compared what they found to a database of protein sequences from great apes alive today. What we observed is the number of differences in the sequences, said lead study author Enrico Capilelli, an associate professor at the University of Copenhagen.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo.
Capilelli. Anyway, we assume that the lower the number of differences, the closer the two species are related, and the later they diverged, Capilelli told Live Science. They found that the extinct Bigfoot isn't a close human relative like chimpanzees and bonobos. Rather, the sequences that most resemble Gigantopithecus proteins belong to modern orangutans, and the giant ape's lineage is thought to have split from its cousins around 12 million to 10 million years ago, the scientists wrote in a study. The success of their method raises intriguing possibilities for investigating protein sequences in other extinct primates from tropical areas, namely extinct species more closely associated with their own evolutionary lineage, Capilelli said. In reconstructions, Gigantopithecus often resembles an oversized orangutan. In the past, these artistic representations have been based on limited information from the fossils and from what was known about the primate's range and ancient habitat, Capilelli said. But even though the new evidence confirms a close evolutionary relationship between Gigantopithecus and orangutans, the date can't tell scientists what the extinct ape may have looked like. The information we retrieved can't say anything about appearance, phenotype, or biology, Capilelli explained. There's no evidence for that. So, very cool.
There we have it. Yes.
They were able to pull DNA from dental specimens, and it closely matched the orangutans.
Which is very interesting.
Yes.
Because does that change the Bigfoot narrative? You know, because
it does.
if you think about it, you know,
yeah.
Says that Gigantopithecus is likely split from orangutans 10 to 12 million years ago.
Right.
It was closely related to orangs, not humans.
Right. And that's kind of strange. You know, a lot of people describe a human-like appearance, but with this DNA evidence, it would be a more orangutan appearance.
Now, I will say this, that the descriptions of most Sasquatch are reddish brown.
Yes. Yes, that's the most common color
attributed. The most, and the descriptions of Sasquatch have long hair, not short hair. Now, look at your orangutans.
Yeah.
Reddish brown, longer hair than your chimpanzees or your gorillas or your bonobos or your billy apes or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Danny. Danny says, I love a Bigfoot show that actually talks about Bigfoot. Well, we talk about, we waste the first 15 minutes on 10 minutes on whatever, but we do talk Bigfoot, and we you know what, we talk about 3 hours worth of Bigfoot talk in about 45 minutes here. So,
I thought that was the other
interesting thing is that the protein that was actually found cannot tell us what the Gigantopithecus actually looked like. There are some proteins that can tell scientists what a creature may look like, but not in this instance. So
it's amazing that all these reconstructions have taken place on theorized about how the creature looks and how it walks and everything, based upon its teeth and small sections of jawbone.
So
that's all we got.
And you know, why is there no bones? I mean, let's think about this. Okay, they found this material from a 1.9 million year old molar. So let's round it up to 2 million years old, okay? And then they say very few Gigantopithecus fossils have been found, just some teeth and jaw bones.
Right.
Okay, no vertebrae, no femur, no skull, not even a full mandible, right?
Right.
Not a breastbone, not a femur, none of the tarsals or metatarsals. My point being is that when people say, well, why aren't there any Bigfoot bones? Well, geez, how come in 2 million years we've only found a handful of Gigantopithecus bones? Does that say something about maybe the breakdown of the bone structure in this particular lineage of creature? I don't know.
And the theory is that they may have been, may have not went completely extinct until roughly around 10,000 years ago. That's a theory.
Right. But even so, it's been around for 2 million years, right?
Yeah. There should be some bones. Where's the bones? Don't have body.
Not finding that money. Now, a lot of people say also, too, it's the acidity of the jungle that may cause that and yada, yada, yada. But,
right.
You know, look at the Florida Everglades. Same kind of, that's a tropical climate, believe it or not. The Florida Everglades. Yeah. You know, United States is one of the very few countries that has all the variances of the planet. We have desert, we have tropical rainforest in the Florida Keys. We have tundra, we have, you know, steppes, we have forests. So we're one of the few countries that has all that.
And it's theorized that the main reason we have these Gigantopithecus teeth and pieces of sections of jawbone are all due in thanks to the porcupine, because the porcupine took these into the caves where they were preserved and fossilized. And the only reason they survived is because they were too tough for the porcupine to eat.
Right.
Porcupines love, apparently, I've never owned one, but porcupines apparently love to chew up the bone for the calcium. And but a lot of people don't realize they even like human fossils, there's not that many of them. I mean, just because you go to your local museum and you can see fossilized skeletons, don't mean those are real. Those are probably plastic or plaster that are copies of something that's kept in a drawer somewhere.
But even so, and I've said this, Chris, this is one of our points of disagreement, is that humans bury their dead, which preserves the bones. You know, that's a fact. The burying of a body preserves the bones. It keeps them from being scavenged. Right? So
that's true to a point. Yeah, yep. I could see if you're buried, a porcupine's not going to be chewing on your leg bone.
Right.
You know?
Right. Because we tend to dig people in very deep graves. So, you know, like us, it's a standard 6 feet, but even a 3 or 4 foot grave, it may just, with the soil on top and whatever, it may just be enough scent masking to fool that raccoon, fool that possum, fool that porcupine to go and try to dig it up.
See, that's the thing.
Or coyote, or, you know.
Unless we have the fossilization process going on, like you have minerals and stuff leaching into those bones, then they're just going to break down. So, you know, we're not. I'm dinging over here. That shouldn't.
You know, and Brian made a comment: is DNA really the no wall to end all? Look at OJ still walking around. But in all fairness, that trial was when DNA was really in its infancy. It was in the 93 that murder occurred.
Yeah.
You know, had that happened, you know, 20 years later, he likely would have been nailed. And the problem was with the OJ case was there was a lot of mishandling of evidence, chain of custody with evidence. Right. You know, they had a case where the lead, I mean, this is a case study for me. This is how not to do forensic evidence. People ask me all the time, why do I know so much about it? Well, not only did I have a job where me and my boss in another office listened to the trial every day on the radio.
Yeah.
And we were calling each other back and forth. Oh, you know, what do you think? And we were analyzing it from kind of a legal aspect, not an emotional aspect, right, and from an investigative aspect. And a lot of people don't realize that Phil Van Adder, the lead detective on the case, had a vial of OJ's blood in his shirt pocket, and he was going from crime scene to crime scene. And that's a big no-no because that could lead to contamination. You're supposed to look at it, right?
So that was a few drops there. Yeah.
That was one of the big evidences. And then, of course, they found the drops on OJ's Bronco, but OJ's blood sample had been near the Bronco before it was found. So, yeah.
Where were you during the Bronco chase? During the white Bronco episode? I remember where I was at.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Brian. Johnny C. and Shapiro couldn't have done it alone. You know, that trial was very interesting. The F.E. Lee Bailey cross-examination of Furman. You know, F. Lee Bailey was ruthless and great in that. What was his name? The guy that did the Barry Sheck. He was the one who did the DNA and tore down the chain of evidence and all that stuff. So, yeah. Can you imagine? I remember that. Look at that. So anyway,
squeeze the juice. But this is one of my theories that I believe. I agree with Dr. Grover Krantz that the Bigfoot is probably a descendant of Gigantopithecus because of the similarities.
Yes, if they don't fit, you must acquit. That was a big prosecution flub. And that was actually Chris Darden's fault. He wanted to have OJ try the gloves on. Marsh Clark was against that. And when, you know, he put the rubber gloves on, of course, it's very hard to put a pair of regular gloves over rubber gloves. Absolutely. So anyway, let's get off the OJ trial and get back on to Bigfoot. We got two more topics. And this one is male power over females is not the default social. Why is it doing this? You know why? Because the space bar is advancing the frames and it's not supposed to. So let's get on with this. So the study comes out of Austin, Texas. Male dominance has long been assumed to be nearly universal in primates, with the female power viewed as the rare exception to the rule. But according to researchers at the University of Texas at Austin, female biased power structures or social equality between the sexes can be found within every major primate group and probably existed throughout evolutionary history. The study, published in the journal Animals, challenges presumptions of male dominance in primates and may have also implications for other animal species. The team reviewed previous literature on 79 primate species, dividing them into male-dominant, female-dominant, or co-dominant categories, and then analyzed which variables correlated with these social patterns. They found that the male bias power was likely to develop in species in which the males had larger body size and longer canine teeth than their female counterparts. Female power may emerge when the supply of available female mating partners is lower than the male demand, thus giving the females in those species greater social leverage, particularly if size differences between the sexes are minimal. So in other words, if there's a very small population of females and a very large population of males. In the past, primatologists have often focused on the role of males and their male power in primate society, said Rebecca Lewis, a professor of anthropology and co-author of the paper. What has sometimes been overlooked is the important role of female power in primate societies. Our work suggests that more economic forms of power might really come to the forefront in primate species in which the males and females are similar in size and in which the females are therefore less readily coerced by males. Among primates, female power structures are commonly seen in lemurs. Previous researchers often tried to explain this occurrence as an anomaly resulting from unique environmental factors. However, the new study calls attention to the presence of female-biased and equal power structures within many additional primate species, such as gibbons in Southeast Asia and marmosets in the Americas. Additionally, the study was able to estimate the probability of male-biased power in ancestral groups of primates. The study that found no particular pattern of intersexual power can be confidently attributed to the ancestors of many major groups of primates, and therefore an assumption of ancestral male biased power is not warranted. Primates have been thought to be mainly male dominant, which would suggest the male dominance was present in primates from early in their evolutionary history, said Chris Kirk, a professor of anthropology at UT and co-author. If this assumption is correct, then what would need to be explained is the occurrence of female-dominant societies and those with greater equality between sexes. However, we show that this assumption of ancestral male bias power in primates isn't necessarily supported by the data. In fact, other types of intersexual power relationships are sufficiently common in primate societies that it's not clear what the ancestral condition might have been. Thus, all types of intersexual power need to be explained, not just the presence of female biased power. So,
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. You know, that seemed to suggest that either male dominance or female dominance in the social dynamic would be a cultural thing rather than a genetic.
Right. It is. But it becomes a cultural thing, especially when the male bias power related to larger size and longer canine teeth.
Mm.
And, you know, it's really kind of very interesting to see. Mm. You know, and again, the other thing it has, Like I know there's, you know, in wolves, there's the alpha female too.
Yeah.
And there's not only an alpha male, but there's an alpha female.
Right. Well, you know, in some animal species, like lions, you know, hey, the male basically just sits around and the females go out, do all the hunting, and they provide. So it's kind of, and you would think that, you know, in the primates, that is interesting. Male power over females is not the default social dynamic in primates. I can see that.
Look at the size of a silverback versus a female gorilla.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's why they're so male dominant. Look at the size of their canine next to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when the species are similar in size, there's no dominance. No preferred dominance. That's interesting.
Yes, but, you know, the other thing is, too, is have you ever seen a male lion head versus a female lion head?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's why the female caters to him.
Yeah.
not that they're dominating him. They're basically subjugate to him in that particular relationship, but they're so much bigger. So that's very, very interesting. Whereas if you look at like leopards, certain leopard families, it's kind of the male and female are out for themselves. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
But, primates are social creatures, yeah. You know, regardless of whether it's humans or Bigfoot or chimpanzees, you know, they would rather stick around together in a group than be out by their lonesome.
Yep.
I know there has been arguments made about the lone Bigfoot or the adult male Bigfoot that goes out on his own. But who can say? That's just theory.
You know, it's theory. I mean, there's no doubt that there's a wandering male, but are the males dominant in the Bigfoot species or is it the female? But then again, we notice that there's a lot of males that are seen 8 feet tall, even 9 feet tall.
Yes.
Right. Patty was 6'8", considerably smaller.
Right.
I think, dimorphism has a lot to do with it. Maybe they noticed it with the canine teeth, the length of the canine teeth, particularly because of certain, let's face it, they're looking at a lot of the study was old world monkeys.
Right.
You know, and new world monkeys, lemurs, marmosets, probably tarsiers and the like. And they tend to have very distinct canines, almost canines.
Yeah.
Whereas the great apes have more flatter, less, I mean, with the exception of the gorilla, I mean, chimpanzees. Right. I don't know if they have that pronounced, much of a pronounced canines.
Not much. No.
Or orangutans don't very much either.
Right.
And that's the amazing thing too, is that, you know, most people that report a Bigfoot don't report large canines.
Right.
Right. Yeah. They report large teeth, but not large canines. So who knows, maybe getting back to discussion, you see how the stuff is all interrelated.
Yeah.
Now we get back to that Gigantopithecus study, that maybe a Bigfoot is more related to the orangutan than it is us.
Right. Yeah. I can see
that. Just a thought.
The pronounced lower jaw and the upper lip, the mug, you know?
Yeah.
I can see that.
And let's face it. What looks more human to you, an orangutan or a chimpanzee?
Well, to me, I would think that the chimpanzee would look more human.
I think the orangutan has a lot more expressions than a chimpanzee.
I don't know. You gotta hang out with them, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, think about Clyde. Yeah. Think about Clyde in Any Which Way You Can.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The faces he made, you know, the.
Right. Exactly.
You know, he looks like an old man with red hair. Yeah. You know, basically. So I don't know. To me, an orangutan kind of looks more like a human than a chimpanzee, because a chimpanzee kind of has that big, big gnarly knot in front of its eyes and a flatter nose a bit. So I don't know.
I could see how people would attribute human features to something that walks on two legs. You know.
Well. Danny says people come in many races. Why wouldn't Sasquatch have different races, with some with canine teeth, like dog breeds? Well, that's because we have different races, but our anatomy is the same. So, Danny, don't confuse being different races with having different structure.
Yeah.
Right? African-Americans, Asians, Caucasians and all the other races in between and around the bend, we all have the same hand structure. We all have the same mouth structure.
Sure.
We all have the same nose structure. We still have all the same bones in our nose. They just look a little bit different, or their ears may look a little bit different, or their body structure may be a little bit different, but mechanically it's all the same, right? We don't have a race that has canines. That would mean there would be a DNA change in that person or in that race. So
vampires.
Yeah, vampires. So but I agree that.
Well, I would just like to say, let me jump in here, Steve, before I forget to say it. I really love this female Bigfoot that you have here. I love that with the cell phone. Looks like she's trying to take a selfie or something.
Yep.
I love that. Great.
And of course, the male Bigfoot's like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That expression. Hubba. You know, look at that expression.
Hubba.
Right.
Hubba. Hubba.
Right. Exactly. That expression, you know, and you know, if you spend some time around primates, you know, I've not spent much time around orangutans other than seeing one in a zoo, but if you spend some time around, like, I spent some time around some chimpanzees, and those guys, you know, they make facial expressions, you know, it just, it's amazing how, you know, of course, being a human, I would like to try to assign human emotion to them, but hilarious.
You know, and we got to, you know, unfortunately, I know there's people that feel that, well, Bigfoot's a race of humans, but we know from their foot structure, they're not human.
Right.
Their foot structure is completely different than our foot structure, meaning there would have to be a difference in DNA, which means they're not straight up humans. You know, the same thing, which would explain, you know, the lack of a neck in all of them, the height, the hair, it's all DNA differences. It's, you know, and it may be slight or maybe a little bit more. But the bottom line is this, is that again, anthropocentrism, you know, we tend to give human-like qualities to animals. And when they see a Bigfoot, they automatically want to think human because that's just our anthropocentrism. It's built into us.
Right.
I've even caught myself doing, oh, the dog is playing peekaboo, or the, you know, the dog's not playing peekaboo. He's just doing something that's humoring. I mean, that has no concept of peekaboo.
You can't help it. You can't help it, but try to attribute, you know, their actions as human. And it's nobody's fault. It's natural. Lester kills me.
All right. So you know what? We are going to have a live. We're going to have a taste test someday, because Don is saying live wire Mountain Dew is better than Code Red.
I don't know. I think I've tasted, I've not tasted both of them. I think I've tasted the live wire.
Now, is the live wire the orange one?
I think the Code Red is kind of like, reminds you of drinking a
cherry soda.
Yeah, well, we've got a drink called Big Red around here. It's bubble gum.
Yes, live wire is orange. Yes. And I love LiveWire too.
Yeah.
I love them both equally. So, the only thing is this, Baja Blast. My local store only has the 1 liter bottle in Code Red. They don't have 1 liter in LiveWire.
Bigger is better.
Yep. Code Red is so good, it'll make you slap your mama. That's what he said. Anyway. Let's get on to our next segment, and that is, well, everybody's probably been waiting for, is the Todd Gatewood update. So let's recap. So we did a show. Actually, I'm going to kick this back for a second. We did a show last week with Brent where we tried to invite Todd Gatewood on. And I'm just going to give you a quick recap of my discussion, because Gatewood was talking with me all day, being really nice, trying to, as he would say, wanting to build bridges. But he wouldn't commit to the show. First, he had a commitment to make, and then later on, he said, oh, my wife is sick. So I got two different excuses not to come on the show. But yet he can do a softball. Well, it's turning out, not, from what I'm hearing, it's not turning out to be a softball podcast. But probably he knew where we were coming from. Brent Dill was going to be on, so guess what? No, making every excuse. And, you know, it took him 2 hours to tell me he had a commitment, and then it took him another hour to tell me his wife was sick. So I have no idea what's the truth and what's not.
That's unfortunate.
Right.
That would have been a better show.
So I posted the short video on my Facebook page, not the one about Gatewood, but the one about the silicone tracks. And Gatewood made a statement or something, and he had kind of a slur or an insult towards Meldrum. So what I wrote him basically was, you know, I said, sorry, Todd, I cannot allow you to go on my pages and hurl insults. I had to remove the comment. If you can debate without personal insults, okay. But if not, they will be unfortunately removed.
Right.
And his immediate response to that was, I would expect nothing less from someone that uses a bully pulpit. It really doesn't matter. Your pages have a dismal audience. Oh, well, really?
Man. We got the best audience ever. I mean, what's wrong with this dude?
Hold on. So if I have a bully pulpit, then I don't have a dismal audience. So which is it? Do I have a bully pulpit or a dismal audience? Because if you have a bully pulpit, that means you have a big audience to preach to, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So what is it? A week earlier, and I made a comment on that too. Again, when Crybaby Todd doesn't like what's being said and you don't agree with him 100%, because that's his new nickname for me now, is Crybaby Todd. Okay. He didn't like his interview with Brian and Wayne Tetherow over at Paranormal World Productions.
Right.
Right? Because they had him on. And then he said it's just a site that wants to generate conflict, controversy, and toxicity. Nobody follows the group really. Who follows the group really enjoys it. It's why their views and numbers are just insignificantly low. Again, he's going after their number. Okay. They can't even seem to understand this. Raise the bar. Challenge yourself to be positive. What? So that's why I said, says four negative things, then challenges everyone to be positive. I have never seen Crybaby Todd. You're a hypocrite. If you're watching this, you're a hypocrite. All I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Nope. I have no problems taking a swing at somebody that's being a jerk to me and to the Bigfoot community and being a troll. So if you're going to be a troll, bye-bye. You're blocked from my stuff. So all I can say is if you try to comment here, it's not going to go through. And all I got to say is...
Enjoy the bun.
That's what I got to say about Mr. Gatewood. And, you know, as you know, that on last week's show, we prove that he actually sure did use AI to do his final analysis by using a predictive program software, using an algorithm to predict what pixels may be in a particular given picture. That by definition is artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
He can cry all he wants and say, wah, wah, it wasn't AI, but it was. I'm sure. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, you can live in fantasy land, Todd, but Crybaby Todd, but none of us live in fantasy land.
Just the facts, ma'am. Just,
you know, if you know, you said, I explained that we need to build bridges and not go on the defense, but you sent people to the show last week that did nothing but go on the defense and try to interdict and not follow our own program, basically coming to my house and trying to make their own rules. Sorry, don't buy that. Won't. And it just goes to show that birds of a feather may flock together.
Well, you know, this reminds me about 25 years ago, I had a conversation with an educator local, and we were discussing this deal about participation awards and giving everyone a trophy for participating and stuff, and what it would lead to later in life. I think we're seeing a lot of that. I think we're seeing a lot of that.
Well, I've never found, you know, again, he runs a very common characteristic we see in people that have much ado about nothing, and that's they're very narcissistic.
Yeah.
They hurl insults. They're very hypocritical. Right. So in actuality, I will say this. My response to him was... and I can almost quote it verbatim. Well, so much for building rapport. you're a schmuck.
Well, yeah, the main
and
thing.
I said, by the way, my dismal audience is the only one that counts. And remember that.
We got the greatest audience.
We sure do. I said, I would rather have people that think and that ask good questions than be sheeple.
That's right.
And that's what I said.
Well, with there's no place for drama in research. I'm sorry, but there's just research is you know contingent on the facts and discussion of the evidence. It doesn't have anything to do with drama or emotions or anything like that.
Sorry, DM Zabo. He says, so am I a deplorable now? All right. No. You're not. You're a dismal is what you are.
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe that. I'm personally offended by his remarks against our audience because I know our guys and gals are the smartest, sharpest people anybody could ever hope for. And every week that they show up, and I am so humbled and proud of them. I'm proud of these guys. And so it kind of upsets me that somebody would say something like that. Completely untrue. Okay, calm down.
And Brian says, I came here for the truth and... So, all right, people are calling for Ralph.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Everybody wants to see Ralph.
Ralph's remarks to the Gatewood comments. Yes.
Look, even DM Zabo is like, "Where's Ralphie?"
Yeah. But we kind of take offense at that. You don't insult our audience. No, sir. Right. You don't do that. You can insult me if you want to, but don't you be talking about our audience.
Yeah, but you know why you insult me? You expect to get, you know, a little bit of a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
No offense. Yeah. No offense. Yeah. I've been, you know what? Crybaby Todd, I've been doing this a lot longer than, you know, you even thought of Bigfoot. You know, when did you think of Bigfoot? I have no idea. You came out of nowhere. Are you just looking for notoriety, something to do? Yeah, you're nothing but an interloper. You haven't done your homework. You have no idea what scientific method investigative process is. You're just some schmuck with a computer program. That's all. That's all you are. You're a wannabe, Todd. Wannabe. Yeah. There's my message to Todd. You know, nice try, but due to your piss poor attitude, guess what's going to happen? Nothing. Everything I said about, you know, if you have access to this, I take it all back because you know what? You just plain don't have the character, the moral perpitude or attitude to do the job right. And you're a hypocrite to boot. And that's what I got to say about that. So that's it. I had to unload on that because that really aggravates the hell out of me when you try to take somebody. Give them some credit for what they've done. Give them some recommendations on what to do. And they act like Crybaby Todd does. You know, and I should have seen it. And I kind of half expected it. I was waiting for the bomb to drop one way or the other because of this whole paranormal world post.
Yeah.
Where he's telling everybody, oh, this day or this sucks and this does that and that does that. But challenge yourself to be positive. But you just... And, you know, a paragraph of negative stuff.
Well, right? the thing that gets me and thing that I noticed right off is the personal attacks. And that's uncalled for. If you can't debate facts and you have to go into something personal about somebody, you have automatically lost. It's over. Nothing you say will matter because you have lost that discussion or that argument. Once you stoop to personal attacks, that tells everyone you have nothing. You have nothing. And so, you know, I don't have time for that sort of stuff and that sort of behavior.
Well, like everybody's saying, phrase of the day, moral perpitude. And instead of building bridges, he sure is burning them quickly. By now I'm ticked off. I thought Ralph was just for my bad jokes. But anyway,
yeah, Trackway, your jokes are great, man. You cracked me up.
So
God, you and Mick,
believe it or not, the hour is almost up.
Oh, well, that went fast.
Sure, it is always. We think well, 2 hours.
We have a good time, and you know, discussing these articles is fun. But of course, you know, we get off on a little tangent every now and then. That's pretty fun too. And time does fly when you're having fun. Yep. It's not just about, you know, dig your face into the article and study it and memorize it. No. I love the discussion.
And, you know, try to interpret what it means. You know, yes. That was the big thing about those two articles. They were very, I think the Gigantopithecus one and the other article about the male, female, it's all intertwined.
Right.
So it's all intertwined. So, and thank you, Brian. I'm glad we can make your day. And DM Zabu asked, who's the guest on Sunday? Well, there it is right up there on the screen. We got Sasquatch Secrets own and Nikki Colon coming on. And that'll be 9 p.m. Sunday. And folks, you know, Chris, you want to take us out real quick? We'll do your thing.
I just want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We appreciate you. You guys are the best audience in Bigfooting, period, bar none. We appreciate and we're honored and humbled to have you every week. If it's your first time listening or watching on YouTube, remember, you guys out there on a podcast, check out the YouTube channel, hit subscribe, hit the like button. Helps us out with the algorithm. Share it and make sure you tune in for 9 p.m. Eastern Sunday night. Squatch Detective TV. Squatch DTV.
That's right, folks. And you know what? The biggest thing you guys can do is make sure you hit that thumbs up button on the way out today. Much appreciated if you do. Share this episode. Share it with your friends. Share. That'll get the word out. It'll get the subscriber count up, and it will help this channel. And we are about the truth here. We are about getting facts out, not fiction, not fantasy. So anyway, guys, enjoy your Saturday. Everybody stay safe. Okay, sorry. This had nothing to do with what you posted on your channel when you first came on. What do you mean? We talked about a Todd Gatewood update and Gigantopithecus. Oh, well, we gave you an update on Wolf. So sorry, brother. You don't like it? You can just move on. But there was no false advertising there. No. Nope.
I don't understand that. Never mind. Because we discussed everything we said the show was going to be about. And so if you don't know that, you didn't watch.
or obviously you were reading something wrong because we're going to have a Todd Gatewood update. We talk about Bigfoot and power structures, and we talked about Giganto, and we talked about a film. That was what the description said. So, Walter Cross has watched the replay.
Yeah.
You know, but Wolf, man, we did describe it. So if you've come in late, gotta watch the rest. It's okay, man. I don't want to. We take a lot of hits from people for no reason at all. So if you're just innocently saying that, we appreciate that. But no, we were pretty much on the point. I tried
catching on the replay.
Catching on the replay. I always turn around and literally when these sessions get generated, I go in and I edit them to try to make them sound like the most, you know, legitimate. So if something got missed, I get that, but I don't think it did. But Jay Carey said, yeah, they literally pegged everything they said and stayed on the outline. Thank you very much, Jay Carey. So so Wolf, if I apologize if we came out a little strong there, but you know, we do, because of the nature of our show, sometimes we get people in here that like to just throw that little barb at us for no reason at all, but
we stick to the facts
and just the facts. So anyway,
just the facts.
I mean, we have a little conversation sidebars in between the segments too. So
yeah.
But anyway, folks, have a great Saturday. We will catch you all here Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern with our Squatch D TV episode 150, Bigfoot Strong, One Tough Researcher, and that's Nikki Colon. So we'll see you all here Sunday 9 p.m. Eastern. Just this coming Sunday. Everybody, I'm Squatch Detective Steve Coles. Have a great night. Peace out.